Sports Lit, though, we're going to talk about something far happier than that and a talented friend of yours.
Yes, I was really lucky. My children and my friend Boyd Meffert's children were approximately the same age, and two of them went to Montessori school together when we lived in Connecticut, and we would carpool. And I got to know Boyd and his late first wife, Lisa, and the kids. And then one day we went over to their house, and I was astonished to find an enormous number of very interesting boats in various states of repair and restoration, and some huge sculptures and stuff. And I didn't really know what Boyd did. Now, I'm going to set this up. We're going to talk to him in 2 weeks, so I'm going to set the book up more than go into all the details. But Boyd, one time, wrote a letter to the editor of a boating magazine. And these are antique boats, classic boats that are restored, that are from, some of them go back to the early 1900s up through today, and all wooden boats. And he pointed out that there was something like 8 mistakes in an article. And the guy said, well, if you know so much, why don't you start writing for us? And he did. He began writing. And this book is a collection of essays and articles that Boyd has written over the years. Now, a lot of it is about the about restoring vintage runabout boats. A lot of it is also about why you probably don't want to do that yourself, why many people have plunked down $25,000 for a boat and $25,000 later don't have a boat worth 50 grand. But what I did not realize is that antique boats there's a tradition of boat shows that are dedicated to the antique boats, not to the new ones, not to anything like that. And Boyd has been a judge at these for many years. What's really wonderful about these essays is that you get to understand what a good guy Boyd is and how funny he is, a great sense of humor. Now, he was born in Missouri, and his father, before Boyd was in the picture, or any of his siblings, sailed around the world. I think it took him 3 years in a 45-foot catch, and had the bug to be a blue water sailor. But they lived in Missouri, and there, of course, there's no ocean in Missouri. And they would go on vacations and charter a boat, or his father would work as a yacht captain. His father was later in the construction business. Well, Boyd liked boats when he was young, but what he really liked was art, and he wanted to become an artist. And in the early, in the late 1960s, there was a movement called the Art and Technology Movement, and he became one of the stars. And that's when they began to use technology like strobe lighting and LED lights and sculpture and things. And he became really very, very well known for that. In fact, in 1970, when the U.S. government sent, I think, 7 or 8 artists, I don't remember the exact number, 7 artists to Japan to represent the U.S., he was one of them. Andy Warhol was one, too, as Boyd pointed out, but he got a postage stamp and I didn't. As he experimented with this and became well known for this and got tremendous critical reviews, told me this morning when I talked to him that last radio interview he could remember doing was on WSM. He said, I'm in there talking about my art display, and all I see around me is all the pictures of the great country and western stars from Nashville. He said it was pretty interesting. And Boyd and I and also bonded over the fact he's a big music fan. I introduced him to Ramblin' Jack Elliott. They have become really good friends. He took Jack and I sailing one time. We had a really good time. But what I learned about Boyd was that he's a guy who for all that experimenting with technology and all that early in his career, when he shifted to doing boats, he's not online. He doesn't have a Facebook page. He does everything the old-fashioned way. He does not use a computer. He uses a typewriter. Edits on a typewriter. But what he does is he is absolutely always trying to be the not only the best restorer, but to be the good, honest guy in the business. And anybody who's thinking about owning one of those beautiful 1930-something Chris Crafts with a tri-cockpit and the like should know that it's very easy to be swindled in that business. And so the book is fun to read, but But what's more interesting is it's a look at how a good human being runs a successful business. He was telling me today about a friend who's in the, I think he sells boat supplies and things for this kind of restoration out of a double wide trailer in Illinois. And he said the guy's worth millions. And his favorite essay in the book was how you could use a certain kind of epoxy that boat builders use to fix your shoes. And boy, he goes, this guy's worth millions. And he's talking to me, well, I got these boots I really like. And that was a great suggestion. So that you don't have to be a boat fan. It's also, though, a lot of people think, well, you know, I'd like to buy a boat because I like to water ski. I don't like water skiing. It drives me crazy. I don't see much of it up where we are. And people say, I'm going to buy this boat with, you know, 10 billion horsepower and all this kind of stuff. You get practical guides on how not to make stupid mistakes. There's some great stories about him taking boats places and delivering them. Some very fascinating people that he runs into that I don't want to tip off or say too much about. But it's called Needs Work: My Life in Antique Boats. And it's sort of a way of describing how a hobby can be fulfilling and wonderful, how it can be an obsession that could, you know, as we were talking about with gambling. What I like is these are incredibly well written. They're very short. Most of them are, you know, just a couple of pages long. Some are 4, 5, 6 pages long. They were all articles that he wrote beginning back in the late 70s, and you see basically the history of the antique boat industry unfold before your eyes in little sections. And he's just a fascinating guy, a really, really good person, one of my all-time favorite folks. And I got to see some of this in manuscript form a couple of years back, and then his daughter just said, Dad, let's just publish the book. And so he's done that and sent it to a lot of people. Mefford is M-E-F-F-E-R-D. People could look up Boyd Mefford. You'll be, I think, wanting to listen in when we talk with him in 2 weeks, because it's a really good book.
Excellent. Well, we're looking forward to that conversation next week on the program. And then after that?
No, we'll talk to Boyd in 2 weeks.
Oh, okay.
Next week, we're going to look at the new Athlon, the new sports poetry in Athlon. And we have lined up Steve Geetscher for next month, I think the 6th rings a bell, something like that, to talk about his great book, Baseball, the Turbulent Mid-Century Years. And we will be speaking to Gerald Wood, who wrote the book on Smokey Joe Wood, which both you and I have read, also in September. I don't remember which day is which, but we got a ways to go.